Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. The week before Christmas, everybody, I just noticed, like in Denver anyway, traffic is just horrendous. Everybody is on the move. The malls are all crowded. And, of course, the commercialization of Christmas continues on. As it just amazes me. But anyway, set that aside. You know the rules of engagement. The message line is always open. 33103, keyword is Mike or Michael, 33103. Go give me a follow on X at Michael Brown USA. The four days after the Bondi Beach massacre down in Australia, that's the incident where 15 innocent Australian Jews were literally just gunned down in a massacre by a pair of Islamic extremists. The cops have now moved on a group of men that are suspected of sharing the same murderous ideology. And I kind of slowed that down because they weren't involved. They haven't killed anybody, at least that we know of yet. But the cops have moved in on them. Tactical units intercepted two vehicles in Liverpool, not England, but in southwest Sydney, and seven men were detained. I think many Aussies would say that that part was handled exactly as it should have been. The cops did what they had to do. But what comes next tells you everything about the twisted priorities of Australia's political and legal system in the year 2025. And I think maybe an indication of kind of what's happened in Europe has now spread to Australia, where it's truly exploded horrifically. And I think except for this country is still divided enough that the wokeness, the political ideology, and the fear of calling out radical Islam for what it is still kind of, we still have our fingers in the dike, and we're still keeping that flood at bay to a certain extent. Now, not completely, because clearly when you look at Columbia, Harvard, some of the other things that go on around the country, all the anti-Semitic tropes that are spewed, you know, incessantly everywhere. We still have a problem in this country. And yes, we have had some, you know, anti-Semitic murders and mass shootings and all of that. But so far, we're still, at least, I think, I know I'm really, you know, kind of dancing around this, but I really think that in this country, we still haven't gone as far off the deep end as Europe, the United Kingdom, and Australia have. So again, less than 24 hours after the dramatic arrest of these seven individuals, they were released. There were no charges, no accountabilities, and I can't even find their names, at least as of yesterday. Yet just a few weeks earlier, the same country that released seven radical Islamist sympathizers, they deported a white South African man by the name of Matthew Gruter for his alleged involvement with a fringe ultra-nationalist group, the National Socialist Network. not because Mr. Grutter was involved in a terror plot, not because he had any weapons, whether they were legal or illegal. We'll get to Australia gun laws in a minute. But they deported him just for holding an ideology, just for holding a political belief. And that was enough for the Australians to cancel his visa, drag him out to the airport, and send him on his way packing. So I think that raises a pretty obvious question. Why is it that in that country, in Australia, radical Islam gets monitored, but white nationalism gets deported? And I'm not at all arguing on behalf of either one. I'm just pointing out, wait a minute, why would you treat radical Islam with kid gloves, but someone who purports to be a white nationalist gets deported? I think you might know the answer. The Liverpool Sting, which was launched a couple of days ago on their December 18th. I always say their December 18th when I'm talking about Australia, because there's always a day ahead of us. Was really a textbook example of the cops doing their job in a really high-threat environment. Acting on credible intelligence that a violent act was possibly being planned, the New South Wales Tactical Operations Unit intercepted two vehicles near George Street, and inside they found seven men, all between the ages of 19 and 24. Oh, they fit the profile, right? And they were all from Victoria, and they reportedly traveled together in a convoy heading in the direction of Bondi Beach. One of them was already on the Australian intel community's radar, and all were described as adherents of extremist Islamic ideology. That's the same warped thinking that fueled the massacre at Bondi Beach. Now, the cops didn't find any guns, didn't find any explosives. Well, they found a knife, and sometimes that's all that's needed, I guess. Just ask the family of British Fusilier Lee Rigby, who was hit by a car driven by Islamic terrorists and then stabbed to death before having his lifeless body dragged into the street by these Middle Eastern Neanderthals, like some sort of grotesque trophy, which they tend to do. Now, the lot that was stopped in Liverpool, they weren't just some group of random drifters out for a drive. Those men were known to the Victorian authorities. And at least one was under active investigation. They were headed toward Bondi, the same beach. They were doing so just days after those innocent Jewish lives were taken by other Islamists there. No definitive target has ever been confirmed. But does anybody believe that was just a coincidence? I just don't believe in those kinds of coincidences. The investigator suggested that those men might have been on their way to collect weapons. And after Bondi, who in their right mind would want to wait and find out? I kind of get the reaction. In fact, what the cops did shows a very clear shift. Because after the massacre at Bondi Beach, where Naveed Akram, that man with known ISIS sympathies, slipped through the intelligence cracks, slipped through the law enforcement cracks, murdered 15 people, including a 10-year-old child, well, you know, at that point, you really don't have any more excuses. The softly soft approach had failed, and the cops knew they couldn't wait to afford to wait for another body count. So this time they went in early and they hit hard, and they made the call that the rest of the system seems too gutless to make. Organized Islamic extremism is a warning sign. It should not be an afterthought. But they let them go. Or would we be seeing names, photos, court hearings, and deportations? Now, that's not just a rhetorical jab. It's the reality, I think, of Australia in the year 2025. It's a country where radical Islam is treated with kid gloves, and while ultra-nationalist voices get labeled as hate groups, racist, extremists, and they're worthy of exile. What's good for the goose is not good for the gander. Now, remember, the guy they exported did not commit any crimes. But because he was affiliated with a nationalist group, they ripped up his visa, and he was sent packing to South Africa. That was enough. There were no guns, there were no bombs, there were no threats, just a name on a list and a label, and that's all it took. So when we get back, let's contrast that with the Liverpool Seven, the seven radical Islamists that were being monitored. There's a huge difference. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line, as usual, is always open, 33103, keyword Michael. I'll be right back.
Great news, Nick. Legacy boxes are still in stock. With Christmas just around the corner, there's still time to buy the best Christmas gift ever. Legacy Box.
That's right, Adam. Order today and Legacy Box ships immediately. It'll arrive ready to wrap and place under the tree.
Gather the family together this Christmas and collect all your old VHS and camcorder tapes, slides, pictures, and film reels. Then you can binge on the good old days.
From fading over time to risks like fire and water damage, your memories aren't protected unless they're on a digital format. Legacy Box helps you replay those great moments from the past, from Christmas morning to your wedding day.
Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. All the work is done right here in the USA, and over a million customers have trusted Legacy Box.
This Christmas is the time to digitize. Visit LegacyBox.com/keepsake for exclusive holiday savings. That's LegacyBox.com/keepsake for last-minute shopping. LegacyBox.com/keepsake.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Celebrate Christmas Eve and Day at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us for Christmas Eve or Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holiday special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Mamacita, ¿dónde está Santa Claus? ¿Dónde está Santa Claus? And the toys that he will leave. Mamacita, oh, where is Santa Claus? I look for him because
Mamacita,
back to Australia. Welcome back to the weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Merry Christmas, everyone. So the cops did their job. But what about the Liverpool 7? Liverpool in Australia. They were being monitored. And they were actually linked to an ideology that had just inspired the worst terrorist attack in Australia in nearly 30 years. And yet they're out on the streets, back in the community, under surveillance. Yeah, under surveillance, but they're walking around free. So why the double standard? And I'm not arguing for or against that they should be arrested or not be arrested. I'm just pointing out there's a double standard here that we ought to at least be aware of and say, is this the right thing or not the right thing? Now, the cops did their job. Let's be clear about that. The tactical teams went in hard and fast, but it's the rest of the system, the bureaucrats, the politicians, the useful idiots who can't seem to stomach the truth. Radical Islam is not just a foreign problem. It's in Australia, just like it is. It's permeating everywhere. You know, I just as a parenthetical here, I don't really want it to happen in Japan because Japan is such a homogenous society, and it's such a wonderful society. I love Japan, so there's my bias. I love Japan. But they're moving in there, and they're wanting to build mosques, and Japan's trying to figure out what to do. I really wish them well, because I wonder how they're going to deal with that compared to how Australia is dealing with it. Radical Islam is not just a foreign problem. It's everywhere. And if everybody keeps treating it like some sort of unfortunate coincidence instead of an actual pattern, a political movement, if we just keep releasing, redacting, retreating, somebody somewhere is going to pay for it again, and they'll pay for it in blood. The phrase used by one Australian official said it all. Quote, men who harbor Islamic State ideology. Well, how about just Muslim extremists? Do they refer to these nationalist members as men who just harbor ultra-nationalist ideology? Or do they call them what they really are, neo-Nazis? Ideology seems to matter enough to take action if it's neo-Nazis, but not if it's, radical Islamists. It was enough for them to deport a man to another continent for holding an ultra-nationalist ideology, but it wasn't enough to hold seven known radicalized Muslim men who were driving to Bondi to do I don't know what, and driving there just days after a massacre that was inspired by their Islamist ideology? Oh my gosh, it's nuts. What else is going on in Australia? Their Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, who is of the left-wing Labour Party, announced sweeping new gun control proposals following that massacre on Bondi Beach. The attack involved an Indian immigrant and his son. They, as we know now, opened fire on the crowd. They killed 15 people and they wounded 40 others. The father was shot dead by the cops at the scene. The son was injured, taken into custody. Authorities said the attack was inspired by ISIS. They went to the Philippines. And they spent a couple of months in the Philippines being trained by an ISIS group in the Philippines. So in response to the attack, the Labour Prime Minister has argued that Australia must strengthen its firearms laws. Oh, why don't you strengthen your immigration laws? No, they're going to focus on the weapon used. They're going to focus on the tool, which I find freaking hilarious, considering that it's Australia. He said this, Sunday's deadly ISIS-inspired anti-Semitic terrorist attack at Bondi Beach highlights the need to finish the job on gun reform. Really? Now, let's remember that this very same prime minister revealed that one of the attackers, the father, was a licensed firearm owner who did legally possess six guns. That same prime minister said, there is no reason someone living in the suburbs of Sydney needed this many guns. You know, for us in the United States of America, that's really one of the stupidest things you can say. Because it's none of the government's damn business how many guns I own. Every time I hear about a story about, oh, you know, we raided somebody's home and we found an arsenal. What's an arsenal? Is an arsenal 10 guns, 20 guns, 100 guns, 1,000 guns? What is an arsenal? And who cares? Unless you can tie that, air quote here, arsenal to a planned attack somewhere, the number of guns anybody owns is immaterial. Now, this new measure in Australia would place limits on the number of firearms that any one individual can own. It will restrict firearm licenses to only Australian citizens, and it will allow the intelligence agency. Now, you know, something else you should know about their intelligence agencies. I know that in this country, I mean, and I think you know too, that we have domestic intelligence agencies like the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and a few others. And then we have foreign intelligence agencies like the CIA. And the NSA is kind of a hybrid of both. But in Australia, they have just criminal intelligence agencies, and they're all kind of lumped together. The Prime Minister said that the government anticipates large-scale confiscation of weapons. And he said, and I quote, "We expect hundreds of thousands of firearms will be collected and destroyed because they're going to implement a mandatory buyback scheme." Now, state and territory governments are going to be responsible for collecting surrendered firearms and then compensating the owners, while the Australian Federal Police will oversee their destruction. Don't tread on me. Don't try that here. And I always get a kick out of a buyback program. Because did the government sell it? No. So you're not buying back. You're confiscating. And then you're going to compensate for the confiscation of the guns. It's kind of like asset forfeiture. Except there's been no crime involved. It's just the mere possession. So like in this country, if you commit a crime with a vehicle, then, you know, if you deal drugs and the government can prove you're dealing drugs out of that car, well, then they can confiscate that asset, that vehicle, and they can sell that. All, now, ostensibly, air quotes, emphasize boldface, ostensibly, there's due process involved. But not really. Now, the skeptics of stricter gun laws will point to incidents in jurisdictions that already have heavy regulation. Earlier this year, there was a mass shooting at a school in Sweden that left multiple people dead, despite that country's strict firearm ownership rules. In this country, a 2023 mass shooting in Baltimore, a jurisdiction that has extensive gun laws and reduced policing, I might add, left two people dead and dozens injured, renewing arguments that gun control alone does not prevent violent crime. In fact, I would say that gun control usually exacerbates violent crime because then, as we all know, only the criminals have guns. So what's been the record in Australia? We'll give you a list when we get back. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text lines open 33103. Keyword Michael. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Too much on your list this season? Get 50% off your first 6 months of payroll at gusto.com/radio. Gusto saves you 2 days every month on payroll, taxes, and compliance, so you can go from making payroll to making gingerbread houses, checking your books to decking the halls, spreadsheets to snow angels. Switch before the end of the year and there's no need to transfer payroll history. Now that's a reason to be merry. Choose a future with Gusto and get more time for what matters. For a limited time, get 50% off your first 6 months at gusto.com/radio.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 AM for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771. Or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons. Premium offerings. Unbeatable value just for you.
Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie. Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Be sure and subscribe to the podcast. On your podcast app, all you have to do is search for The Situation with Michael Brown. The Situation with Michael Brown. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review because that helps us with the algorithm. And then that will download for you all 5 days of the weekday program that I do, which is a lot like this program, plus the Saturday program. So you get, let's see, you get 18 hours. 18 hours of me. That's enough to solve any of your insomniac problems out there. This is the Australian Prime Minister a couple of days ago talking about how diversity is our strength.
Overwhelmingly, one of the things about this country is what they want is when people come to Australia, you leave old divisions and hatreds at the door.
Really? Because apparently those dirtbags didn't. They didn't leave their hatred at the door. In fact, they came to Australia, and then they took their radicalization and went to the Philippines and got trained in how to massacre people, how to shoot from defensive positions, and then went to the beach, and on the first day of Hanukkah, massacred Jews. So, Mr. Prime Minister, are you paying attention? Are you awake? This is my problem with anyone who is unwilling to recognize that Islamists are a danger to Western civilization. It's just oil and water. It just does not mix.
At the door. When you come to Australia, you are here to support our society, of which is diverse, but that diversity is a strength. And that is what...
You know, enough of that. I just want you to hear the diversity is our strength. Because is it really? I don't think that that's the case. He then said in another soundbite, he talked about how past protests, misinformation, all of that is what's to blame for the Bondi Beach attack.
There's been discussion about protests. Josh Frydenberg and others have said that some of these demonstrations that have happened over the last couple of years shouldn't have occurred. They shouldn't occur in future. Obviously, Chris Minns on a state issue announced plans for legislation upcoming to curtail demonstrations, large public gatherings after a terror designation. Could I ask you, do you believe the tenor of any of these protests, demonstrations, contribute to what we saw on the weekend, and do you personally have any concerns about demonstrations occurring in the near future?
Well, hatred starts with language and then moves to action and vilification, and then can lead to an escalation of it. I certainly have been concerned and have expressed continually my concern about some of the language that is used during this, some of the misinformation as well, which is there. Australians want overwhelmingly, one of the things about this country is what they want is when people come to Australia, you leave old divisions and hatreds at the door.
But they don't. And if you think that language and demonstrations escalate into incitement, then why don't you do what we do here? You know, we've often talked about the fire in the theater. And my explanation of that court decision has been, yes, you can shout fire, falsely shout fire in a theater. There's no police. There's no prior restraint. There's no speech police following you everywhere that is standing, you know, at the door into the theater that the minute you stand up is going to come down and say, what are you going to say? You can't, you know, we don't do that. So from a practical point of view, you can stand up and falsely shout fire in a theater, but if that causes a stampede and injures people, you're going to be held liable both civilly and perhaps even criminally for that speech. Even with our First Amendment, where we recognize that the government cannot, and in some cases, in some specialized cases, even private individuals or institutions, cannot limit your freedom of speech. But even with that broad recognition of how important free speech is, we still recognize that there are some limitations. And even that limitation that I just told you does not stop you committing what could turn out to be a crime by inciting violence and by creating the conditions for people to be harmed. But Australia doesn't do that. Instead, they want to focus on the guns. Because for them, it is the gun that is the problem. It's not the radical Islamists. It's none of that. It's the guns. So they're going to do a gun buyback problem. I mean, they're going to do a, that's kind of a Freudian slip. They're going to do a gun buyback program. Well, they've already got some of the strictest gun laws in the entire world. So when they make a claim that there have, and they do make this claim, because they define a mass shooting as five or more people in one incident. And then they go on to claim that there have been no mass shootings. Well, a friend of mine, you know, heard me talking about this yesterday and sent me a list. The Childers Palace fire, June of 2000, killed 15 people. Seth Gonzalez, July 10, 2001, bludgeoned to death his sister, mother, and father with a baseball bat. Oh, not a gun, a baseball bat. The Monash University shooting, October of 02, Wan Young Zhang, a student shot his classmate and teacher, killing two and injuring five. The Churchill fire, I remember this one, was horrible. 10 confirmed deaths because of arson. The fire was lit on February 7, 09. The Lin family murders, July of 09. Lian Bin Robert Ji killed his sister, her husband, and three members of her family, five persons from the Lin family, with a hammer. The faces of the victims were so disfigured that forensics had to be used to identify them. The 2011 Hectorville siege, a mass shooting, took place on Friday, April 29, 2011, took place in Hectorville, South Australia. That one started after a 39-year-old male, Donato Anthony Corbo, went on a shooting rampage, killing three people, wounding a child, two cops, before being arrested by the Special Operations Police after an eight-hour standoff. The Quaker Hill nursing home fire, 10 confirmed and as many as 21 people may have died as a result of a deliberately lit fire in a Quaker's Hill nursing home, November 18, 2011. The Hunt family murders, Jeff Hunt killed his wife and three children before turning the gun on himself in 2014. The Kame stabbings, a woman stabbed eight kids to death on Friday 2014, December 19, 2014, seven of them were her own. Margaret River, May 11, 2018, seven killed by a gunman. Darwin, June 5, 2019, four people killed at a hotel by a man using a pump-action shotgun. And then the claim that there had been a drop in deaths is somehow attributable almost entirely to a drop in, almost entirely attributable to a drop in suicides, but not a decrease in total suicides. Suicide people just found other methods where there was no longer a gun available. But yet, they want to claim that, oh, it's the guns, and we're going to use the guns, so now they're going to do the gun buyback program. It's not going to change anything. Unless and until the Australian government and all of Western civilization recognizes that radical Islamists, are an anathema to all of the things that we believe in Western society. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the God-given natural right of self-defense. All of those things will and are under attack by Islam, which is truly just a form of government wrapped in a religion. That's what it is. And unless and until people are willing to acknowledge that and recognize it and quit calling it the religion of peace, we'll continue to see this happen. We just saw it in Syria where we lost some of our own military members. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
Great news, Nick. Legacy boxes are still in stock. With Christmas just around the corner, there's still time to buy the best Christmas gift ever. Legacy Box.
That's right, Adam. Order today and Legacy Box ships immediately. It'll arrive ready to wrap and placed under the tree.
Gather the family together this Christmas and collect all your old VHS and camcorder tapes, slides, pictures, and film reels. Then you can binge on the good old days.
From fading over time to risks like fire and water damage, your memories aren't protected unless they're on a digital format. Legacy Box helps you replay those great moments from the past, from Christmas morning to your wedding day.
Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. All the work is done right here in the USA, and over a million customers have trusted Legacy Box.
This Christmas is the time to digitize. Visit LegacyBox.com/keepsake for exclusive holiday savings. That's LegacyBox.com/keepsake for last-minute shopping. LegacyBox.com/keepsake.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 6 42.
Everybody calls us.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Redding, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event. Redding Kia is celebrating the season with joy, gratitude, and incredible year-end savings. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we're giving a heartfelt thank you to our veterans and the brave men and women of our military. Since 2006, Redding Kia has been your trusted hometown dealership. During our holiday sales event, take home a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage. There's always a military incentive rebate at Redding Kia. Visit us at 418 East Cypress Avenue or anytime at reddingkia.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
The holidays are here, and that means family, friends, and heartwarming homemade flavors. Celebrate the season at Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection, crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room. With bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. While they play, you can relax with happy hour daily from 3 to 6, or pour your favorite brew from our self-serve beer wall featuring dozens of local and craft options. And don't forget the perfect stocking stuffer. Buy a $50 Charlu's gift card and get an extra $10 free. The gift of homemade flavor, family fun, and unforgettable memories. Visit charlus.com for details or stop by on Highway 273 in Anderson. Charlu's Tap House, where good times, great flavor and family traditions come together for the holidays.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Well, I don't think in my entire radio career, so you're the first that I've ever had during Christmas, I've ever had a rapper doing a Christmas song. So congratulations, your trophy's in the mail. That's hilarious. The very first defendant in this sprawling Medicaid autism program fraud going on in Minnesota pleaded guilty to one count of wire fraud day before yesterday. Asha Farhan Hassan, age 28, was part of a scheme that was defrauding Medicaid. Now, this is just one part of it. We now know that it's going to be well in excess of $1 billion. But this one individual, defrauding Medicaid of $14 million taxpayer dollars. Now, I just want to remind you that I know this is Medicaid, and that a lot of Medicaid dollars come from, you know, the states, but also a lot of Medicaid dollars come from all of us and then get distributed out to the states. So if you're soon to be getting a paycheck, I want you to look at your paycheck and look at the Medicare taxes that you pay, you know, when you look at your FICA and all of that stuff that gets deducted, because you helped this dumbass collect $14 million. Now, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because he was also participating in a separate fraud scheme that saw the theft of about $465,000. Can I just say $500,000? Thank you. $500,000 from a food assistance program for needy children. Merry Christmas, everybody. These are the people that Minnesota, in this Somali community, keeps importing. And then we're called racist because we point to a particular group of people that are inherently engaged in fraud, and we point out the fraud, and then somehow we're racist for pointing out the fraud, and that it is confined to not solely. I'm sure that once we dig into this, we'll find maybe even some Caucasians, maybe even some blacks or Mexicans or Hispanics or Asians. Or if we want to, you know, forget races, we'll get into all the ethnicities. You might even find a Presbyterian or two. Who knows? Engaging in fraud. Meanwhile, the U.S. Attorney's Office for Minnesota announced new charges against six other defendants in what the Department of Justice is describing as staggering industrial scale fraud. The schemes are part of this larger fraud conspiracy, all tied to the state's Somali immigrant community, which is now believed to have seen the theft of an estimated $9 billion in taxpayer dollars. Now, this is not isolated. This is not some isolated incident. But guess what? Tim Walz is really upset about it.
Yeah, the team is, and I will get them here on this. Look, this is one of, I don't want to say the number, it's countless numbers. Every night I get an update on this of the threats to our federal money on everything we do. Because look, right now it's very clear the entire federal government is weaponized against Minnesota. And the issues of things that should be states' rights, states to control, they're threatening us with this. And this is what happens when you have a floundering presidency, and it is about those ballrooms and everything else. Now we're back on transgender folks, and these are healthcare providers providing the best guidance to parents and children to get their care. So we're assessing what it means. It's on every front. It's CDLs, it's transportation money, it's money across the board that they have weaponized. So
what I love about these kinds of comments is, let's never deal with the crimes that we have uncovered. Let's somehow shift it over to this is all the fault of the Trump administration, and the Trump administration is now weaponizing federal funds against the entire state. I would say, we are. And we're rightfully doing so. Because when you have, whether it's $1 billion, $9 billion, or turns out to be $40 billion, as some estimates I've seen, in fraud, you ought to start questioning every single federal dollar that goes to a state. And Minnesota's not alone. I'm certain that if we started digging into, Colorado, California, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, we're going to find something similar. And I would even point out, I bet, and this is based on my own personal experience inside the Beltway. As the undersecretary, I found fraud all the time. We did everything we could to minimize it. I mistakenly told the truth to a Senate committee one time, complaining about, you know, some fraud in a program we had discovered. And I said, yes, that fraud is there, and we have minimized that fraud, and we continue to try to minimize it as best we can, but there will always be fraud. Our job is to try to mitigate against it, prevent it, stop it, and when we find it, you know, go after the people who've committed the fraud and stop it. But whenever you've got federal money involved, there's going to be fraud involved. Oh, my God, it was heresy. You can't tell us the truth like that because we can't handle the truth. Drives me crazy. I want to be clear, though. It's not an isolated scheme in Minnesota. From Feeding Our Future to Housing Stabilization Services and now the Autism Services, those massive fraud schemes from a web that has stolen billions of dollars in taxpayer money, every case that they bring exposes another strand of that network. So the challenge is immense. But, and their work's going to have to continue. Evidence presented by federal prosecutors detailed how this particular dirtbag participated in fraudulent claims for a Medicaid program trying to support children with autism spectrum disorder, and in the Feeding Our Future nonprofit, another NGO? Shocker. You mean an NGO, a non-government organization, is fraudulently doling out money? I'm shocked. You mean there's prostitution in the whorehouse? Unbelievable. And now Waltz facing mounting criticism for his administration's failure to take action against these fraudulent schemes. State government whistleblowers have been claiming for a long time that Waltz and other state officials were aware of the fraud network going all the way back to 2019. But they wouldn't take legal action because they were fearful of being seen as racist. Because of the Somali community. I rest my case, Your Honor. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I spent years living in fear of calcium oxalate crystal stones, always afraid of when the next one would hit. Now I just take Kidney Cop.
Battling calcium oxalate stones? It's time to try Kidney Cop, a doctor-recommended kidney supplement that has been shown in laboratory tests to reduce the growth rate of calcium oxalate crystals by 99%. Get Kidney Cop today at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife, and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is Ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news at Town Hall. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The administration is clamping down on a visa program after that deadly attack at Brown University.
The Department of Homeland Security announced a pause in the processing of diversity lottery applications after the suspect in the Brown University shootings was linked to the visa program. The gunman, who died of a self-inflicted gunshot, was a Portuguese national who obtained permanent residence via the diversity visa lottery program. Halting the applications was presented as keeping Americans safe, but critics said the Trump administration is using the attack to achieve a broader goal of reducing legal immigration. Greg Clugston, Washington.
There's a vehicle recall at the Ford Motor Company.
Ford is recalling more than 270,000 electric and hybrid vehicles in the U.S. because of a parking function problem that could lead to them rolling away. The Detroit automaker says that the recall includes some 2022 to 2026 F-150 Lightnings, 2024 to 2026 Mustang Mach-Es, and 2025-2026 Mavericks. At issue is the integrated parking module, which may fail to lock into the park position when the driver shifts into park. Ford says it'll implement a park module software update for free. Keith Peters, Washington.
The Lumbee tribe of North Carolina achieved a goal more than a century in the making this week when it secured federal recognition as a tribal nation through the passage of a defense spending bill. Lumbee tribe member Wendy Locklear.
This means that I have a seat at the table now. I have been counted out before by those other tribes saying that I did not exist, but I exist. My ethnicity is real.
New federal survey data show record low teen use of alcohol, marijuana, and nicotine, with two-thirds of 12th graders reporting no recent substance use. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-366-6161. That's 800-366-6161. 800-366-6161.
He's fought and won against some very good fighters after starting out as nothing more than a YouTuber. But as correspondent Julie Walker reports, Jake Paul has finally met his match.
Jake Paul loses his heavyweight fight to Anthony Johnson in the sixth round of their Friday night bout in Miami.
I'm feeling good. That was fun. I love this sport. I gave him my all.
Two-time heavyweight champ Joshua displaying why he's one of boxing's elite punchers, dropping Paul more than once before delivering a right to the head in the sixth round to crush the YouTuber's upset dream.
He did amazing. He hits really hard, and I just did my personal best.
Paul also says his jaw was broken in the fight. Audio, courtesy Netflix and MVP. I'm Julie Walker.
It was a great day for stocks on Friday on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 183 points. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The National Weather Service has issued a rare warning for a part of Colorado's Front Range as hurricane-force winds and tender dry conditions combine there to boost the threat of wildfires across several counties. Meanwhile, Weather Service meteorologist Jennifer Stark says they're issuing that because they're concerned about the possibilities of fires breaking out.
We want people to be prepared. We want people that are in some of these wind-prone areas with the very dry vegetation to be prepared to evacuate at a moment's notice if they need to. We really want people to not do anything outside that could start a fire.
And it marked another day of severe weather in parts of the country, with forecasters issuing warnings for everything from more winter weather bearing down on North Dakota to red flag warnings in Nebraska and Texas, and flood warnings from Washington State into California. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Grange Co-op.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hi friends, RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Black Diamond by J.C. Newman. This exquisite tasting cigar offers 5-year aged tobaccos not found in any other cigar in the world. Made in the Dominican Republic to the highest standards of the Fuente family farms. Mature notes of cedar, spice, and dark chocolate prevail. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
To me. Right. Yeah. You want to put your headphones on because we're live?
I'm not with it tonight.
That's all right. I'm sitting here dancing. Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah. That was nice. Lots of good info on that story. Super cool.
And we have lots of new great information from our next guest, Melinda Hunter from MC Photography. MC Hunter Photography. Sorry. It's
MC
okay.
MC Hunter. So MC, not MC squared, MCH.
Some people say Mick Hunter.
Oh.
And Melinda's beautiful photography is in the magazine, and she actually did the cover for the August issue.
Yep.
And it's beautiful. You do always do such beautiful work. So, but you also do other stuff.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. I'm excited to be here.
What is your other stuff?
So, photography, just other areas besides, you know, photographing for Enjoy, which I love photographing for the magazine, and I've been doing it, I think, since 2017.
Yeah, it's been a while.
For
sure.
Yeah.
Good stretch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love meeting, you know, I would say it's about 50-50. Half of the people that I get to photograph I know, and the other half I don't know. So I love meeting new people and just getting to know.
I like photography a lot if I am just doing it for myself, right? Because I've done photography for the magazine for years off and on when they need as emergency fill-in and stuff. And I just always know that whenever it's, like, for me, sometimes it can be very high pressure, and it makes me sweat. Like, I'll pick up my camera and start sweating, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just standing here, and I'm sweating.
Oh.
And I don't know why, but it's not the same as if I'm just out and about.
Yeah.
When I'm out and about, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You do mostly portrait photography, though. Is that correct?
Yes, I do portrait photography.
I'd be crazy.
No. I've been doing it since, next month will be 25 years as MC Hunter Photography. I've been doing it for much longer than that, but I really do enjoy photographing people and making them feel good, look good, and, you know, a lot of people are not comfortable on the other side of the camera. And I just have a way about, like, making people feel comfortable.
And that's really a comment that I hear a lot.
That's the gift of gifts when it comes to photos. I would say the majority of people don't like their picture taken.
Right.
Especially in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
If you're just out with friends and you're in a group at the fair or whatever and pictures taken, that's one thing. But as soon as it's closed and it's focused on you and there's lights, you know, most people are like,
Yeah. And she does, and people call and say, I just want you to know that Melinda made me feel really comfortable.
Well, that's nice.
I really enjoyed talking to her. So thank you for that.
That couldn't be a better compliment. I mean, in my opinion, for a photographer.
Yeah. And I feel like every time I photograph somebody that I don't know, I just met another friend. Like, I mean, we just have conversation. It's not just like, okay, I'm here to take your picture, you know, when it comes to Enjoy Magazine. But, but I understand what you're saying, James, about picking up a camera and photographing someone, you know, because there's expectations or.
And that's hard enough, but the ones that I give kudos to is like, I could not imagine being a wedding photographer.
No. Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, thank you.
People after weddings are crazy, right?
I've done plenty of those.
Expectations, right? Like, it's like right here and now. It's happening now. If something's messed up or if you don't capture what their vision is in their eye, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. I used to photograph a lot of weddings.
Did you?
And it's one of the most stressful genres to photograph because, you know, it happens once.
You ruined my life.
But there's something special about photographing weddings because, you know, you have all kinds of dynamics of people's personalities.
A lot of emotion going on.
Yeah, that too. And it always made me feel good because people would come up to me telling me, like, what a great job I'm doing. Usually it's, like, the bride's mom or the groom's mom, you know. And it always kind of amazed me because it's, like, they haven't seen the pictures yet. I took it as a compliment, and I love doing that. I just don't I still photograph weddings, but I don't advertise that. You know, they're few and far between here. But
I really love that you do this empowering women over 40. You do these like specials, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you do like, is it like groups of women or is it just like headshots or both?
So it's a campaign. It's a beauty campaign. And the reason why this, how this all got started was in 2019, women that I was photographing, they would come to me and see their pictures and they would, you know, get emotional, whether it be, you know, happy or can't believe it looks like them or trauma. And so I'm like, wow, there's like something here bigger than me just taking pictures. And usually those were like headshots or branding images. Mm. So I wanted to start a campaign and then the pandemic came. And so I started this in 2022. Photographing women over 40, because there's something to say when once you hit 40, you know, you're raising children, you lose yourself, or you kind of like look back and there's no pictures of you. It's all about your kids.
Right.
So
they were orphans.
Yeah. And including myself. And that kind of became even more impactful and emotional for me because I look back and I'm like, wow. So.
Well, I see your ad in here, and it's great. I mean, these pictures that I'm looking at of these women here for this campaign that you're kind of doing, they're really nice because they are very flattering, mm-hmm. but they also aren't.
They're really natural.
Yeah, there's no corny or cheesy, right? I mean, they just look really sharp. And they look like they're enjoying themselves, and they look enjoyable. And
confident.
And approachable and all that together, right?
Because
so many times photos can just start to get cheesy, and you're kind of like,
ew. And that's the one thing, like I do a lot of business branding, like headshots, and to me, I feel like a headshot is like, I don't know. If you're a business owner, you need branding images mm-hmm. to broaden, like, to, you know, share, you know, with your audience. Yeah. And so, but.
What's the best way that somebody can get a hold of you? Because we are, like, running out. That was fast 15 minutes.
MCHunterPhotography.com, or they can reach me at 530-524-9949.
Well, we appreciate you coming.
Thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate
it. Thanks for your support of the magazine.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Thanks for tuning in. So we're talking about NGOs and how, you know, I've long complained, but I've never really dug into the details about just, you know, there's a point where you recognize, okay, I keep bitching and complaining about NGOs. Let's dig into them further. So I did, and then now I'm really ticked off. And Merry Christmas, I'm really ticked off. The Tax Foundation has been warning for years about how this nonprofit sector has quietly grown into just a parallel economy. By the Tax Foundation's own accounting, even going back several years, NGOs represented about 15% of America's gross domestic product. And for years, they've controlled trillions in assets. And that trend has only accelerated. It's hospitals, universities, credit unions, advocacy groups, you know, groups, again, you know, whether it's for drugs, homelessness, you know, illegal aliens, whatever, NGOs for everything you can possibly imagine. And they now generate business-like income at scale. But even though they generate huge amounts of income, they face none of the fiscal obligations that are imposed on their for-profit counterparts. So the result is not charity. I think it's distortion. An example, two hospitals across the street from one another. One is organized as a nonprofit, the other as a for-profit hospital. Both charge market rates. Both employ professional management. Both invest in real estate and technology. But one pays corporate taxes, the other does not. The tax burden borne by the for-profit hospital doesn't disappear. It gets shifted either onto the patients or onto taxpayers. In effect, the nonprofit's tax exemption becomes a subsidy financed by everybody. Now, if you're a defender of this system, you're going to respond that, and maybe I'm setting up a straw man here, but I would say that defenders of the system typically respond by arguing that the nonprofits reinvest their surpluses in their mission. Well, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Endowments grow faster than the services expand. The other thing that happens is that the compensation of the C-suite reaches levels that are indistinguishable from the private sector. For example, university endowments that exceed $50 billion, they increase their tuition relentlessly while accumulating wealth that compounds tax-free. Foundations that satisfy minimal payout requirements while preserving capital in perpetuity, and the legal form signals altruism, but the economic behavior signals something closer to just pure raw asset management. And then the problem deepens when you turn from economics to politics. NGOs are not supposed to engage in partisan activity, and I can't help but laugh when I say that. They're not supposed to be partisan organizations, but in practice, many do, often through elaborate networks of affiliated entities, and so they move the money between their 501c3 entities and their 501c4 organizations. And I don't think that anybody has exploited that structure more effectively and more efficiently than George and Alex Soros through their Open Society Foundations. They have perfected the use of tax-exempt capital to finance lawsuits, advocacy, and political pressure campaigns across jurisdiction and across probably every kind of topic you can imagine. The result is a system in which political activism gets subsidized by the tax code. The donors receive deductions. The organizations avoid taxes. Litigation, lobbying, narrative shaping, those are all financed with dollars that would have otherwise flowed to the treasury. Because they don't pay taxes, there's a delta between what a private organization, what their, you know, net income would be, versus what the net income is of an NGO over here, because they're not paying taxes. So in that delta, that difference, they can use to file lawsuits, to lobby, to go out and use the cabal to shape a narrative. And this isn't an abstract idea either. Both during Trump 1.0 and Trump 2.0, do you know that more than 90% of the lawsuits brought against the Trump administration were either filed directly by an NGO, or the lawsuits were financed by an NGO, or they were coordinated by the NGOs that were operating behind just nominal plaintiffs? Let me explain what that means. They might come to me. Let's say that I'm enraged with Trump derangement syndrome, or I'm an illegal alien, or I've got some cause that I believe in. Well, the NGO would put me up as the plaintiff, and then they would fund the law firm. I don't do anything. I just put my name in the lawsuit. Oh, I'd have to appear for a deposition. I'd have to answer interrogatories, but I wouldn't have to worry about a thing in terms of the legal expenses. And all of these cases, well, let's see. They challenged immigration enforcement. They challenged energy policy. They challenged election law. And they even challenged national security decisions. And they all got funded with tax-exempt capital, tax-exempt money. The plaintiffs paid nothing into the system that they were suing or contesting. Yet what did they do? They deployed vast resources against agencies that are funded by you and me, by the taxpayers. Now, you can agree or disagree with the substance of any particular lawsuit. The structural question is the main question. Should the tax code subsidize permanent legal opposition to democratically enacted policy? My answer is no, it should not. The traditional answer, though, has been that civil society must remain independent of the government, of the state. Well, that answer presupposes that NGOs are meaningfully separate from the political process. Do you think they are? When you think about an NGO, do you think they're separate from the political process? I think they're an inherent part of the political process. I'll explain why next. Don't go away.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you have a history of those dreadful calcium oxalate stones? Well, KidneyCop is here to help. Shown in laboratory testing to reduce the rate of calcium oxalate crystal growth by 99%. Yes, 99%. Don't wait. Start taking KidneyCop Calcium Oxalate Protector today. That's KidneyCop, C-O-P, KidneyCop. Order today at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, or KidneyCop.com. That's Amazon, Walmart, or KidneyCop.com.
Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text line, of course, is always open, 33103, keyword Michael Michael. Go follow me on X, at Michael Brown USA. So back to NGOs. As I said, after Trump 1.0 and Trump 2.0, almost all of the lawfare against him was done by NGOs. Those organizations filed and funded waves of lawsuits. They coordinated investigations. They submitted, this is interesting to me anyway as a lawyer, they submitted countless bar complaints against Republican lawyers, Republican officials and advisors who had law degrees or who were admitted to the bar, had a bar license. Why would they do that? Because those complaints were more than just punitive. They actually function as a chilling mechanism because you're going to be loath to take on a case for the administration or for anyone representing the administration or for someone defending the administration because you don't want to go fight a bar complaint. Your livelihood is at stake. This is warfare. And then those same organizations, those same NGOs, continue to bring and finance these cases into Trump's second term, revealing not a temporary reaction, but has become an institutional strategy. The NGOs are now so deeply integrated into our policy networks, and they're usually staffed by former government officials. They coordinate with all these partisan actors, and they focus less on service delivery than on an ideological outcome. The distinction between nonprofit advocacy and political organization has become so intertwined to the point that it's truly irrelevant. And the scale of assets involved, $14.2 trillion, think about it this way. That's not passive capital. That $14.12 trillion generates a whole hell of a lot of income. And it provides, and of course, leverage. It can shape labor markets. It can shape and influence media ecosystems, the cabal. It can influence academic priorities. It can even influence that regulatory agenda that I beg you to think about as you go through. I know it's Christmas time, but sometime during your Christmas holiday, there'll be somewhere where I'm going to plant this earworm, brainworm in you, and you'll think, oh, yeah, Michael Brown told me to think about government regulation. There is a great example of a government regulation I hadn't thought about. In your everyday life, when that power operates outside the normal mechanisms of our accountability, like elections or recalls, the result is not pluralism, it's asymmetry. Now, I know that people will argue or object that the figure, the $14.12 trillion, it aggregates very different institutions. Of course it does, but it shows you the scale. Yes, churches or a food bank, labor unions, hospitals, universities, foundations, they're all included in that figure. But aggregation is precisely my point. The legal regime does not meaningfully distinguish among them. A local charity that's barely getting by trying to feed some homeless people or a multinational foundation funding political advocacy both benefit from the same basic tax privileges. The former, yes, the small local food bank is small, it's dependent. The latter is wealthy, it's entrenched. Treating them identically is not fairness, I think it's negligence. And of course, let me add a footnote. while I rage against the machine, and while I rage against this injustice, and while I rage against this horrific system that we have, I'm also realistic enough to know that do we think that Republicans have the cojones to do anything about it? Well, maybe, but let's temper it a little bit. Some recent policy developments suggest that the reality is finally being acknowledged. This year, Congress enacted higher excise taxes, for example, on large university endowments and some private foundations. Investment income that once escaped taxation entirely now faces some graduated rates up to, a whopping 8% in some cases. Excessive executive compensation in these nonprofits is now subject to excise taxes. Now, I know it's modest relative to the scale of the problem, but at least I see some shift in principle. Tax exemption is no longer assumed to be sacred, and it should not be. More and more NGOs function as, we often refer to the deep state or the administrative state. How about another shadow state, the NGO state, exercising power without any sort of electoral legitimacy? I know that's provocative, but the underlying concern is a serious concern. Because when policy outcomes get shaped by organizations that are insulated from voters, that get funded by untaxed wealth, that get shielded by complex legal structures, accountability starts to dissipate, disappear. And then decisions start to migrate from our elected representatives and get moved into courtrooms. It gets moved from voters to foundations. Now, none of what I've just said requires denying that genuine charity exists. It does. And a lot of Americans give their own personal time. They struggle and they give what little money they have to organizations that truly relieve suffering, that strengthen communities. My argument is not against charities. It's against a regulatory framework that allows immense concentrations of wealth to operate indefinitely and independently without taxation, no transparency, no meaningful constraint, by simply adopting a legal construct. Oh, I'm a 501c3. Oh, I'm a 501c4. And then I'm going to blend those two together and nobody's ever going to question me. A more rational system would begin by distinguishing some way among functions. Organizations primarily engaged in direct charitable services, like that little local food bank, it really should receive favorable treatment. Entities that operate businesses or manage large investment portfolios or engaged in ongoing sustained political advocacy, they should not get that favorable treatment. Income from commercial activity should be taxed at the same rate regardless of what their corporate form is. And if you have an endowment above a certain threshold, you ought to face a mandatory payout or at least some sort of asset-based taxes on that endowment. And political activity, any political activity, the slightest little political activity, that ought to trigger an automatic loss of exemption. Not some sort of little penalty, but an automatic loss of exemption. And then you would have to fight in court and go and argue to get your exemption back. In other words, put some onus on these organizations. It's not going to destroy nonprofits. It's not going to destroy charities. I think it would clarify it. They would have to align tax treatment with their behavior rather than just with some dumbass mission statement that really doesn't or actually hides what they're really doing behind that mission statement. It would restore the original logic of a nonprofit status by reserving nonprofit status for organizations that actually operate as charities and not those that are perpetually financially and political operating as financial or political machines. Go back to that $14.12 trillion figure. It matters because it ought to force a reckoning. Any sector, again, remember, $14.12 trillion is larger than the combined GDPs of Germany, Japan, and India. A sector that is that large is no longer just ancillary to our economy or to our politics. It is now a central influential factor. And central and those kinds of influences require rules that are commensurate with their power. And if we're going to pretend otherwise, that's going to confuse your, you know, your grandmother's sentiment about giving to the local food bank with governance of institutions that are influencing our government outside our vote. We don't face, for example, a choice between compassion or accountability. It's a choice between a legal fiction and a changed reality. Because I don't think that NGOs were ever meant to become this gigantic untaxed empire. If they have become one, and I argue that they have, the fault lies not in the charity itself necessarily, but you know where it lies? In our refusal to update the structures that we use to govern charities. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And think about that, particularly in this season when you're asked to give. Everybody and their dog is asking you to give. Maybe you'll start looking at it. I'll be right back.
Too much on your list this season? Get 50% off your first 6 months of payroll at gusto.com/radio. Gusto saves you 2 days every month on payroll, taxes, and compliance, so you can go from making payroll to making gingerbread houses, checking your books to decking the halls, spreadsheets to snow angels. Switch before the end of the year and there's no need to transfer payroll history. Now that's a reason to be merry. Choose a future with Gusto and get more time for what matters. For a limited time, get 50% off your first 6 months at gusto.com/radio.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
My
So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town, premium, fresh, and local line, to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons. Premium offerings. Unbeatable value just for you.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
It has a common theme. The Democrats are constantly trying to swing and smack the pinata that they tried to make Donald Trump into. Instead, they always seem to pin the tail on Bill Clinton. And they really did in this one. New York Times, in their story, we'll get to that in a minute. This document dump that occurred during a time when official Washington and most members of the cabal are drinking and trying to forget the week that was. They're already on their Christmas vacation. They'll be back, I'll be back on air on January 5. If I remember of Congress, I'd be back on air probably on January 25. Because, Christmas is just such a difficult time for members of Congress, and they need that extra time because they've worked so dang hard. Well, here's Bill Clinton, the big dog himself, front and center of the week's most salacious photos. In one photo that I saw online, he's in a swimming pool with Epstein fixer Ghislaine Maxwell and a woman who was either unfortunate to have been born with a black box for a head or whose identity the government had redacted and doesn't let us see. In another, there's another black boxed head woman sitting on Bill Clinton's lap. Less salaciously, Clinton pals around on a private jet with Michael Jackson and Diana Ross. And then there are photos of Mick Jagger. Yeah, the Stones, Mick Jagger, having dinner with Ghislaine Maxwell and Bill Clinton. And, of course, former Prince Andrew of the United Kingdom, he sprawled across the laps, I mean, literally sprawled across the laps of several black box-headed women. And then Epstein himself features prominently, of course, in one photo on the phone while examining a cake shaped like a woman's breasts, and another wearing a hat in the style of Fidel Castro. And then there's the photo of Clinton lounging in the hot tub with yet another redacted woman. As always, Clinton World denies everything and turned it back on Trump World. A Clinton spokesman said, quote, this is about shielding themselves from what comes next or from what they'll try to and hide forever. So they can release as many grainy 20-plus-year-old photos as they want, but this isn't about Bill Clinton, never has, never will be. Even Susie Wiles said Donald Trump was wrong about Bill Clinton, close quote. Now, I don't know, as I kind of dug, you know, I actually, when I went onto the DOJ website, I got put into a queue. I was number 62, and my wait time was about a minute and a half. And then I spent about a minute and a half on the website because it was like, there's nothing here. You know, you search for Trump, you find stuff that you've already seen and heard about. Nothing new. Now, the Epstein Files Transparency Act does allow the Department of Justice to withhold certain information to protect the identities of the victims. And I'm all in favor of that. But 100 completely redacted pages kind of beggars belief in a missing Watergate type minute sort of way. California Congressman Roe Conner wrote, who co-wrote the act with Thomas Massie from Kentucky, the Republican, says that the DOJ's release doesn't comply with the congressional legislation at all. He said, and I quote, our law requires them to explain redactions. There's not a single explanation. So he and Massie, of course, are going to continue to demand the full release of the files. And AOC gets in on the act. She posted on X, now the cover-up is out in the open. This is far from over. Everybody involved is going to have to answer for this. Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, whole administration, protecting a bunch of rapists and pedophiles because they have money, power, and connections. Bondi should resign tonight. I got a spoiler report. Pam Bondi did not resign last night, and she hasn't so far this morning. I don't know what the Democrats were expecting in those redacted pages. They seem to have some sort of secret knowledge that there's going to be all this detailed descriptions and photos of Donald Trump having sex, I don't know, with kids, animals, you know, aliens from Mars or something. Or maybe all three at once in the menage a trois, I don't know. It would be the equivalent of a Lexus in the driveway with a bow on it for Christmas for them. You know, the commercial we see all the time, or, you know, all the car commercials with bows on them. But instead they're just going to get some new socks, a sweater from, you know, grandma, and a 25-year-old photo of Bill Clinton swimming with a lady. President Trump disappoint them, as he always does. But we don't know for sure what's in the blacked out page. Is the president the greatest sex criminal in the history of mankind? Did Mick Jagger and Michael Jackson do the Harlem Shuffle with a drag queen at Jeffrey Epstein's birthday party? Did Bill Clinton snog a big-haired woman? Well, tune in next Friday night and we will have another dump. I won't be here. You'll be on your own. You'll have to go search yourself, because I don't care. I'll be right back.
Great news, Nick. Legacy boxes are still in stock. With Christmas just around the corner, there's still time to buy the best Christmas gift ever. Legacy Box.
That's right, Adam. Order today and Legacy Box ships immediately. It'll arrive ready to wrap and place under the tree.
Gather the family together this Christmas and collect all your old VHS and camcorder tapes, slides, pictures, and film reels. Then you can binge on the good old days.
From fading over time to risks like fire and water damage, your memories aren't protected unless they're on a digital format. Legacy Box helps you replay those great moments from the past, from Christmas morning to your wedding day.
Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. All the work is done right here in the USA, and over a million customers have trusted Legacy Box.
This Christmas is the time to digitize. Visit LegacyBox.com/keepsake for exclusive holiday savings. That's LegacyBox.com/keepsake for last-minute shopping. LegacyBox.com/keepsake.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.